Sometimes.
So yeah, I thought it'd be interesting to. Okay, so this is just a totally different topic. Just a quick point. In Shabbos, on Chavtes Amid Beis, so the Gemara talks about basically it's the two cases of Malach Hashem Tzrich Legufa, where you extinguish a fire on Shabbos. So the Reisha as you're putting out the fire because you're afraid of Nachrim. Or because of a chola, you want to let the chola sleep. And the Mishnah says you're potter. Okay. But the Sefer says if you're putting it out because you want to save the nair, the shemen, or the psila, then you're chayev. Okay. So the nair means the lamp. Nair doesn't mean the candle. So the Gemara says, like this, since the Seifa says Chayev, so therefore it must be Rebbe Yehuda, because that's the Machlokas. Malach Hashem Tzrich Legufa, Pater or Chayev. Right? You're familiar with Malach Hashem Tzrich Legufa? Malach Hashem Tzrich Legufa means you have to look at what the Malacha was done for in the Mishkan. Okay, that's the Malacha Legufa. That's when it's Tzrich Legufa. And then there's a question, what if you do it for another reason?
Thank you, yeah.
So that would be this case, right? What's the tzricha? What's the tzorech of kibbuy in Mishkan? To make a pechem, to make coal, right? Because the malach has to be productive. So putting out a fire, how is that productive? It's productive because when you char something, it's easier to relight the next time around. So if you want to have, you want to be ready for the barbecue, you don't want to have to deal with the wood. So you pre-char it, and it'll catch easier next time. It'll burn slower, whatever it is. There are reasons to have coal. We're all familiar with them. So, in order to be a malacha tzricha legufa, you need to do the malacha for the reason that it's for its productivity in the Mishkan. So these cases are malacha shein tzricha legufa. You're putting out the fire, but not because you want to make something with the extinguishing of the fire. You just want the light out, either because you the chola can't sleep, or because you want to save your materials. So that's called a Malach Hashem Tzrich Legufa. So in Malach Hashem Tzrich Legufa...
Isn't saving materials the same as making materials for the next time?
No. Because Rashi says very sharply, you would have been happier if it wasn't burning at all. Because you don't want to... you would have been happier if this wick wasn't caught on fire. Because you want it for the next time. You want to preserve it. You don't want it burned. It's not that you want its burned quality. You just wish it wasn't burned at all. You wish it would just stop burning and not have be completely preserved. You're not trying to make something out of it. Okay. Or the oil. Well, take the oil. Or the lamp itself. Happens to be all right with the wick. It's a little bit more complicated. But essentially, it's a malacha shein tzrich legufa.
On all of them, right?
On all of them. So that's why the Gemara says. Well, since the Seifa says chayev, we know the Tana must be Rabbi Yehuda. Because that's the machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda holds chayev amalach hashem tzrich legufa, and Rabbi Shimon says pater.
So why does he say
you're pater in the reisha? That's the Gemara's question, right? By the way, the classic, I mean, when people normally think of amalach hashem tzrich legufa, the case they usually think about is digging a hole for the dirt. That's one of the classic cases. Digging is really for the hole, to improve the ground. If you dig because you want dirt, that's called amalach hashem tzrich legufa. Okay. Anyhow. So the Gemara asks, like Matt is mentioning, it's not consistent. If the Mishnah is, what's the case of the Reisha? Why is the Reisha Pater? Okay. If the case is a Sakana, a Chola Sheyesh Bo Sakana, it should be Mutter. Right? And if it's a Chola Sheein Bo Sakana, it should be Chayev. Because how do you have Putter in the ratio. Putter means what? Putter means what?
Okay,
it's usher. Putter means you're putter from a carbon, but it's usher. Mutter means it's permissible. So the Gemara's question is, it doesn't make sense. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who holds on a malach hashein tzrich legufa yechayev. So why in the ratio are you putter? Putter doesn't make sense. Either it should be that the case of the chola that we're talking about is a chola sheyesh bo sakana, and then it should be mutter. Or it's a chola she'ein bo sakana, and it's just another case of malach hashein tzrich legufa, and it should be chayev. Just because the guy has a headache, he puts out the candle. That's a melacha shein shvi'ach l'guf, he'd be chayev. So the Gemara gives the classic answer. Really, it's a chola sheyesh b'sakana, and really it should say mutter. Aidi the boy lemisti seifa chayev tana nami reisha potter. But since it had to say chayev in the seifa, because that's the din in the seifa chayev, it has to tell you chayev. Therefore, for consistency reasons, it said potter in the reisha. What's that?
To list them too as a sakana.
Yeah, the cases that you're afraid they're going to kill you, whatever, all those cases you have to say you're afraid they're going to come in and kill you. So really it's mutter, the Gemara says, and it only says pater because it had to use the term chayev and pater go together better than chayev and mutter. Chayev and mutter are extremes. You want to have chayev and pater instead of chayev and mutter. So once you have to have chayev, the natural corresponding term is pater instead of mutter. So it's the type of thing that, all right, we sort of give it, we say, okay, we're satisfied. But the truth is, it's a difficult answer because I spent so much time teaching these girls that there's three things. There's mutter, putter, and chayev. And they mean different things. Mutter means you're allowed to do it. Putter means you're not allowed to do it, but you're not chayev a carbon. And chayev means it's aser midoraisa, you chayev a carbon. So how can you say now, for stylistic reasons, we're going to use the wrong word? It means something different. Putter means you're not allowed to do it.
Isn't there something like a beginning?
Well, it's in the Rambam says. In the Rambam himself says, whenever we say in this book, chayev, putter, he defines all of his terms. So I understand you don't want to make a mistake about the chayev, but you're still choosing the wrong word for putter. So you could say, no, you're right. We're more concerned about getting chayev wrong than we are about getting... We're more concerned about... If you would have written mutter and chayev, somebody might have misremembered and remembered the mutter part and then assumed the other part was putter, or whatever it is. So you're worried about the bigger mistake of someone thinking that which is chayev is not chayev is a worse mistake than someone thinking that which is mutter is putter, whatever it is. But it's not satisfying. I mean, if you had to teach that to a group of kids, you know, it sounds like a forced bad answer. You could try to apologize for it, but it doesn't. It's not going to walk away with "Wow, that's brilliant." So the more I thought about it, though, I realized that it really makes a lot of sense. And the reason is like this: that when we say "putter" means "usser," that's not literally true. Okay, "putter" literally means exempt from carbon. So if I tell you, your putter, if you do this, all it really is addressing is the carbon issue. It's not saying anything more than the fact that you're not high of a carbon. So why do we in general really say that putter means usser? For the simple reason that there is another term called mutter, which literally means permissible. Okay? So therefore we say like this. If you ask me, will I be chayav a carbon? Can I do this? And I'll say, well, you won't be chayav a carbon. There's an implication that I can't do it. Why? Because if I could do it, I would have said, you can do it. You understand? So there's a literal meaning of the word putter, which means exempt from carbon. But then there's an implication from the fact that I decided to say putter as opposed to say you're allowed to do it. You understand? It's like when someone says to you, someone asks you, am I allowed to do this? You say, well, you won't get punished for it. There's an implication that it's not the right thing to do, but you won't get punished for it. But the implication only exists because I could have answered you, yes, you can do that. Since I did not say you can do that, and I chose just to speak about the punishment, it implies you can't do it, but you won't get punished. You understand? So it's really putter only means usser by implication of the implication from the fact that I didn't choose the most lenient expression, that I didn't choose the most permissive expression. So since I cut back on my expression of permissibility, it implies it's not permissible, but simply not chayev. So that's what the Gemara is saying over here. The Gemara is saying that you think putter is wrong, you're saying putter is the wrong expression because it means that it's usser But the truth is, it only means it's usur if there was a free choice that I could have said mutter. So when there's a free choice to say mutter, and I choose to only say putter, that implies it's not mutter. You understand? But since there's a stylistic reason why I don't want to use the word mutter, since there's a good reason why I don't want to use the word mutter, because it could confuse people about the chayiv side, there's no implication that putter means usser. Putter only means usser by implication, and the implication only exists when I have the freedom to choose equally between the expressions of mutter and putter. Why would I choose putter if I really meant it was allowed? Implication is it's not allowed. Yes, but if there's a reason why I shouldn't use the word mutter, then putter only has its literal meaning. Yes, and literally, putter does not mean it's usher. So the Gemara's really works out very well. It's not the wrong expression. It's only the wrong expression when it has an implication of being usher. So if I would just have the freedom to choose, and I would say this activity is putter, the implication, since I didn't say mutter, is that it's usher. But if I can show you why you shouldn't draw that implication, because there's a reason that I shouldn't use the word mutter, then all I can say about the word putter is it means literally not chayav a karbon. It's not talking about permissibility. It's not discussing it. Because it never does. We only draw an inference from the fact that you didn't use a more lenient expression. But here, since I can't use that other expression for a different reason, the implication is gone. So basically, putter really literally means exempt from carbon, which is not a statement about whether it's permissible or not. The only reason we say it means usser is by way of inference. But if I can show you from the fact that you didn't choose another word, but if I can show you the choice itself was limited by another factor, then I've removed the implication of the word putter, and it just has its literal meaning. So it's not really a concession to, we'll choose the wrong word because of another reason. The other reason really makes it a word that's not inappropriate.
Right. It's just like it's
that's right. Now, the meaning of putter meaning usser is only from the context. It's only an implication from the context that since I could have since I had a larger choice of words and I used this one, it must mean this dafka to the exclusion of the other. If I say I could have said mutter and I said putter, it must be dafka putter but not mutter. But that doesn't exist if I couldn't have said mutter for another reason. Then I only have the literal meaning. Not that they chose the wrong word. It's not that they chose the wrong word because of this consideration. It's because of this consideration, it actually modified what the word putter conveys.